Hey everyone, and welcome to Blind Bargains Cast 194. I am Joe. That is JJ over there. Hey JJ, how's it going?
Hey there.
And he's all excited because the middle of this show is going to talk about a Microsoft Surface event. He has been looking forward to it. He had it on the calendar. He did a spam bot in you know, Slack. I call it spam bot. It is what he calls them.
Yeah.
But, he had one of those just waiting for today. Waiting, I'm telling you.
And later, I'm going to ask you, why do we cover the Microsoft event and Surfaces any more than should we start covering the Asus event and the Dell event and the Acer event, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We'll get to that later.
Yeah, why sure. Is Microsoft it's called content. Sometimes. Spoiler. I hate to right here.
I was trying to tease. Okay, so I also have a grocery delivery coming in the middle of the show, so, you know, I'm just going to start off to the side at one point, which it might hopefully
that might actually be more exciting for some people than the Microsoft Surface event. We'll see how that goes. Yeah. But let's get to the news, shall we? There was actual news. Procrastination has worked for this little show once again. And that recording on Wednesday, due to the Surface event, gave us one or two more days of actual news to come rolling through. One of those things that is actually bringing a lot of people to a conversational point this week in Twitter and other places is Mattel has announced that they are going to release and sell a actual Uno deck, official Uno deck, in Braille through Target stores in association with the National Federation of the Blind. Several people in my Twitter feed went, wait, I've been playing Uno for years. You know, I've gotten decks from MaxiAids. You know, MaxiAids actually sells through Walmart, of all places. But there are ways
I'm
of
sorry.
Playing Uno
before. We don't endorse MaxiAids on this show, but okay.
it's an acknowledgement. It's not, yes. It's not an endorsement. Yes. But, you know, I've even had VI teachers over the years sit down and actually, you know, braille up some cards.
Braille decks
and
up.
People, yeah, they have done it themselves. So a lot of people are like, well, why is this news? Well, this is news because Mattel is doing it themselves. It's going to be sold in Target, and it's going to have packaging in Braille. It's going to have instructions, both audio and available for you to download from the Mattel website. And, you know, I think this is a great companion idea right next to the Lego story. And in fact, I had Jay kind of peruse this article that I found from Forbes, in which he has a feeling about. So get ready for that in a second. But it's an interesting article because the article actually gets into the history of some of the packaging and why this is different from Mattel.
Well, you know, there's a few things going on here. First, yes, the packaging is really cool. So it's Braille packaging on the shelf, so one could walk down the Target aisles not knowing what anything else was, but come across the Uno and know what it is. It is not costing much more. The regular Uno, when I looked on Shipt a few hours ago, was selling for about $6. The Braille Uno is retailing at $9.99. It's at pre-order. The pre-orders are sold out. That's good. So they've, you know, they're already past the initial demand, and it's going to be in stores in the coming days as well, meaning I should be able to get it through shipped at some point for $10, which is very reasonable. I think part of the point of the Forbes article was that, hey, why are we doing the Braille version? We should just have the regular version and have it be accessible to everyone. I mean, maybe there's a point we get to that. There are reasons why one might not want Braille cards. Braille does make the cards thicker. It makes them a little harder to shuffle. It makes it a little less portable. So there are instances where you might not want a Braille deck of something if it's a group of people where nobody is using Braille. But I like the instance. You're getting a hot take. That's really all I have to say. it's not very hot. It's really very lukewarm.
No, but it was interesting that it was a mainstream article like Forbes, which is known for business, coming out in favor of accessibility.
No, and that is actually good. That is very cool.
Saying that this was a product going to shelves. Lego is an experiment. Lego is ideas. They're working on it. You know, it feels like they're dipping a toe in the water. Mattel is like all in. Here it is. Store shelves. So it was an interesting article versus a lot of people who were out there just regurgitating the press releases. And I thought that was actually courageous.
This isn't, this is very cool. Now, you used to be able to buy Braille decks of Braille cards at Hallmark. If I remember right, back in the day, I don't believe you can anymore. So this isn't exactly the first instance of Braille products being in mainstream stores. Of course, there used to be talking watches at Radio Shacks back when there used to be Radio Shack. So, but still, I mean, any time, you know, we're still at the point where any instance of this is still news. you know, and we probably will report on every single new Braille product that hits the shelves, just like we reported on shampoo that just happened to have a couple bumps on it. And that one, I was more in favor of Humanware.
Braille displays on sale in the Apple Store app. You could actually get Braille.
I believe they store there, and they're more expensive for some reason in the Apple Store.
Last time I checked, it was mostly switches when I went under accessibility. But, you know, those things are always fluid. You know, another thing that's very fluid and changes all the time, and we've talked about it on this show, WebAIM survey is now complete. The results have been posted for WebAIM 8. And let's see, just kind of a rough snapshot here. Chrome usage is up, JAWS usage is down, NVDA usage is up. And it was very interesting. I really wish they would have actually, in the question, I don't believe it was this way. My memory's a little foggy today, but the question about NVDA should be followed with, do you donate to NVDA? You know, yes, you're actually up, you're using NVDA, but did you donate to NVDA?
Because I bet you they could tell you that. I mean, NVX, yeah. I'm sure it's more like PBS, where the percentage of users that donate versus the percentage of users is pretty low.
I think you did ask that question back at CSUN.
Yeah, you know, it's a small, you know, like I said, it's going to be like most things. A small percentage is going to pay for most of the. But anyway, so by the numbers, NVDA had a few more votes than JAWS. There's two screen reader questions. One is, which screen reader do you use the most, is essentially what it's saying. And while NVDA, this is the first time they went past JAWS, although statistically it's a tie. It's within a half of a percent. So they are, you would really want to call it a tie. You wouldn't want to say NVDA is the most popular. And that question, the other one, though, that says, which screen readers do you use at all? NVDA has about a 12% lead. Now, part of that is because it's free, and a lot of people have it on their computer as a backup narrator on that same question at 33%, which is really cool. That's a way up, I believe, from before.
Oh, yeah.
The browser combinations, you know, so here's the thing, though, and a lot of talk about this on Twitter, too, and I agree with this. 1,200 people took the survey. 1,200 people volunteered to take the survey, which, you know, so if you did a survey of 1,200 random line people, that would be enough to be statistically relevant. You know, that's about what you would do for a poll, for an election, for candidates, things like that. But these aren't random people. These are 1,200 people who chose to take the survey, who are probably a little more computer literate than most. And there's reasons to think that, you know, the numbers might not be as accurate as one might hope. I definitely think you can use it to find trends. And
defining trends is good. Basing a business plan on it, or saying that a development team working with an accessibility checker company or fact company providing those kinds of services, then using it as gospel is another thing that I don't feel comfortable about
at all. There are some things that I think might help some people, though, that people much prefer headings over landmarks to navigate web pages.
Yeah, that I do agree with. Yeah.
And that hopefully that's something that can stick. The browser combinations ended up being JAWS and Chrome, NVDA Firefox, NVDA Chrome. And those are probably a good set of three to test on if you're going to test on browser combination, at least on Windows. Android usage is up as well, especially internationally. That's not a surprise. Yes, lots of people in the U.S. use iPhones, and most people use iPhones for accessibility. In other countries, that's not the case. And anyone who wants to market their app more towards an international audience especially needs to be cognizant of that, although I think there's enough Android users that you should always be making your apps accessible on both platforms. But, you know, it's these are still good surveys to do. Would I love a more comprehensive survey that really kind of got in and went into, like, you know, pick people randomly from school systems and workplaces and, you know, who don't usually touch the survey? Yeah, that'd be great. It's also a lot of effort. If somebody wants to do that, you know, don't complain about it, then figure out how to do that. But
hey, somebody got a grant
not be easy
for doing earbuds as biometric pieces to log into your phone. Anything is possible. We just talked about that last week.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah, you would need a grant, honestly, to do this
easily,
comprehensively. Yeah. But compare 1 to 8, and you definitely will see things. Was it Patrick on Twitter? He's like, I feel sorry for the 1.2% that is still using Windows.
Still using Windows. Yes, I saw that. That was
Come on, move on, people.
Once screen reader winners at one point. But that's okay because they can always turn to the latest edition of NVDA, as JJ alluded to last week in beta.
Unless you're on XP.
Yeah, that is true. Then then you could definitely be moving on to the newest version of NVDA. This patch helps clean up some of the things that Jay was talking about, a little sluggish performance. It is available at the time that we are recording.
We mentioned this last week, and we're just exactly so some Gmail stuff and some Gmail things and some other stuff. But again, this is the version that doesn't that will not kill any of your add-ons or things like that. We will revisit that again in a month or two. Although I'm using the alpha, which anybody could do if you're daring, and most of the add-ons are now coming across and people are updating them. So, with a few exceptions. So we'll talk about that more later.
The high-profile ones, the ones like I don't know. Dictation Bridge.
Yes, to Dictation Bridge. We're still waiting to hear from NVDA Remote, but they usually tend to, you know, but they are open source. So there's always, you know, somebody else can pick that up as well. Truly. And remember that NVDA Remote was created out of a Kickstarter, Indiegogo, you know, crowdfunding thing. Yeah, crowdfunded. So if people have interest in them, maybe it is time for someone else to now pick up that, you know, do you expect the original developers to update that in perpetuity? I'm not saying I haven't.
There are some people who do believe that is the case. I have unfortunately
you didn't
seen,
pay for that.
Not just in this arena, but others. So
you didn't pay for that in the original version. So maybe it's some time for a group to, and it's also on the original developers to say, hey, we're done with this. We'd like someone else to help us maintain it. So I would think, you know, they would do that as well. Dictation Bridge you could use with JAWS. And
that's true. And you would have to pay to be able to get the latest version of that, the JAWS September 2019, not to be confused with the JAWS.
Wait, no, you wouldn't have to pay for that. No, yeah, that was a free one. Yeah.
Right. Well, yes. you have to be running the latest version of JAWS to be able to get something. So, you know, like the JAWS public 2020 update, which is out there now.
A couple of the 2020 things are in this beta. Yeah. A couple of the things, like, and then some of these were feature changes, like JAWS no longer saying clickable on various web pages, which is just a settings change.
What? JAWS less chatty.
So that was a 2020 feature, like, oh cool, but actually now it's just in this free update in September 19, along with a whole bunch of smattering of bug fixes.
I would have read this, but when I went to get the link, it had internal 500, so JJ actually had to read this for me, because
you know what makes sense. Well, good. Well, then that'll be a reverse of later. You know what makes sense in the update, and it's one of those things that you read it like, why hasn't this always happened? But if you extend your SMA or you add new license, you know, whatever, do certain things to your license, that it will now, you don't have to go through the authorization manager, it will now just pick up on it, which is what I would have expected to happen.
It's been messy to get that web portal up and things running, and I still kind of like the way that ZoomText does its key system better, but I do like what's happening with SMAs now.
That is one
way
thing
better than the old days.
Say what you will about everything else that's happened with VirSparrow and corporate, but corporate has brought some of these mainstream things to JAWS in the way it updates in the annual licensing. And obviously some of it is also sign of the times, but I do think some of that has been streamlined over the past couple years now.
Yeah. And it's not easy. You had to take a lot of legacy products and roll them in. They all had different accounting systems. You know, I know some of this because I used to work for AI Squared. So they actually had to take a lot of that and incorporate. They had to first figure out what they wanted it to be. Then they had to incorporate a lot of those old systems into that. And it was a very rough transition. It took them a while. And I know a couple of people who were on that task. It was not a lot of fun. I think that is definitely the third circle of hell, is doing migration and data migration and merging. That is no. APH had made some news this week by tapping HumanWare for going out and being their partner on CodeJumper. You've heard us talk about CodeJumper just a few times. Latest back in August. And of course, the demo that we had with Dave and JJ back in March with Row your code. And so this is helping them internationally. And this is back to what you were saying about American and then outside of America, where things have a little bit of a different nuance to them. HumanWare has a very large worldwide presence, and they
ship APH is not various markets. Right.
Correct. So this is a good partnership between them. And we've heard that APH was going to be leaning more and more into partnerships, as per our interview back in March from CSUN, where we talked to CEO about how that was going to go in that direction. We also had an interview with the new man in charge of Access Explorer back then as well. And so we had a little bit of a sneak peek of what they were going to do with the latest version.
So a couple things going on here. Yes, the international thing for CodeJumper. So domestically, you'll still be able to buy it through APH. That's the way we understand that. And then, lots of talk of Nearby Explorer. This has been floating around for a few weeks. So the goal, and APH put this up on their email list, but it didn't get published widely, and then they left some confusion when the iOS version just disappeared, the paid version of Nearby Explorer from the App Store, which was just kind of an unrelated 13.1 side effect. Jeez, what isn't a 13.1 side effect?
And to be fair, if you had downloaded it prior to that, they actually told you within the description. So they were actually telling you in the product description. I just so happened to go by Nearby Explorer like 2 months ago, had seen them talking about this in the description of don't get this. If you're considering this, please go get the other one. You know, this is going to go away at some point.
Essentially, it comes down to the maps. You had the Navtech maps, which are, you know, legacy maps that have been powering GPS for years and years and years, but those would need to be updated over and over and over. So they're switching to OpenStreetMap, which is a free map provider, and in most places now seems to have updated maps versus, you know, a few years ago you wouldn't use OpenStreetMap because the data just wasn't good enough, but it's gotten a lot better now as far as what is out there. You know, I've been using it to print random things. I believe the T-Map uses OpenStreetMap as well, and so I've been doing random maps and they come out really well. So they're switching to them for maps, which means you don't longer, the biggest reason they were charging for Nearby was because of the cost of maps. So that's going to be integrated into online and then the directions and then multiple providers for search. So yes, the free one is going to become like the paid one. I bought the paid one like 6 years ago, so I'm okay with that. But obviously if you just bought it, you know, it happened, but these things happen. These things happen. And that's just how it is. Well, so you'll be able to, you can still use your paid
version. Apple does it all the time. I'm thinking of Daydream, which was a dashboard app for Apple TV, got bought by Apple. They turned it free. So these things can happen in weird sort of ways. And I think the other part of this is communication is going to be key. The web is definitely a great equalizer. There are more than people than just this show and us looking at this information. There are people out there who, you know, have set up their RSS readers for any changes whatsoever so they can be aware of that. And then that becomes kind of hypercritical amongst the web and it gets out of control so quickly. So you have to communicate these days. It's just really, really, it puts you in a bad place if you don't. And so, you know, that's why I follow Twitter first.
Well, actually, a couple of things came through on Twitter just to kind of bump in. One, as an update, of course, right after we recorded last week, there was a thing that came through from Envision AI updating their app for 13.1. So,
I mean, after we had shut off the microphones, it had come through.
Right.
It was that.
So I know people pointed that out to us on Twitter, so we appreciate that. The got a thing, and maybe some listeners can help me out on this a little bit. Anyone who's really big into Braille displays. So Orbit Reader, Orbit Research posted a tweet that's saying, we're the first Braille display to support USB HID, which essentially means you can plug in your Braille display to a computer, and there's a standard now for Braille displays that Apple and Microsoft and a bunch of others developed, which is great, and I'm glad that's happening. I don't know where two things. The screen readers are on Sega. This. Yeah,
I thought Seika or somebody else. I thought
HandyTech had already done this before. Yeah. So is it because there wasn't a standard before and HandyTech just kind of made up their own thing, or Seika or whoever else? So we're going to try to get some more details on that. And I hate to leave a story hanging like that, but maybe one of our listeners knows more than we do. In fact, maybe I'm sure one of our listeners.
I'm pretty sure, especially when we get to sound off, there might be someone who definitely might have a historical viewpoint on how things have looked in the past. Any other crushing news before I have to drag you into Microsofty land?
We have, according to Devin Prater on Twitter, there's an update to Pages as well.
Graphs. All the iWork stuff got updated with graphy stuff and dark mode, lots of dark mode.
So the update's still rolling in and still lots of voiceover bugs. I encountered one that's been pretty frustrating in recording video. So they're still floating around, and, you know, that's these iPhone updates.
That's why I moved on to 13.2 beta, because I figured it couldn't be any worse than 13.1.2, because that's buggy as hell.
It's frustrating. They seem understaffed, underpowered. I know the people that work there are doing a great job, and it's not just accessibility. The hearing aid thing.
Third episode in a row where we talk about iOS bugs.
The hearing aid thing is, that's awful.
The hearing aid thing is awful. Yeah,
well, that's essentially like if you downloaded a new version of iOS and it just happened to disable VoiceOver entirely. Like, I don't know. Like, you have to, when you update software, there just has to be a list of things. All right, every update or release, we are going to test these things, and with MFI hearing, it should be one of those things. And
as much as they have put into that and have been touting it and saying that you could use the AirPods as a way to hear speakers from around the room and all, yeah, I'm agreeing with you. I just think they're underwater. I think this got pushed too soon, too quick. They are a victim of their own success, as Shelly said.
They had to push it out. Oh, Shelly did say that. Hey, Shelly also said she is updating the book. Of course.
Yeah, she announced 13. Yep. I saw her talking about voice control the other day.
And actually, we do sell the book. We're working with Shelly now on that. So you can get the book at atguys.com, iOS Access for All. And if you buy it now, you will get the iOS 13 edition for free. So you can get it in a couple different formats. I like EPUB because then I can use it on things like Qread. But you can do it in a couple different formats. You just have to pick your format when you buy it. You can't buy the EPUB and then 2 minutes later, oh, well, no, I really wanted the PDF. No, please figure that out ahead of time. If you're not sure, just email us. But you can get the iOS 13 book. That is the book. It's the largest book, and it's, you know, the most detailed.
And so it covers low vision as well as other portions, not just voiceover. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you want to get to know more of it as a trainer, you want to know how some of the screen magnification portions work, that is a great resource for doing so.
So while I'm reading that, Joe's been talking about Microsoft all week. And you know, to be fair, I see at least one piece of news in here that might catch my interest, which, although I can't buy it till the end of next year, we'll get to that in a minute. But sure. We're just going to let you take it from here.
And No. You're going to love it. There's some great stuff here.
I mean, I'm not going to not listen to you. I'm not like walking away. Okay.
All right. I do have a link here to talk about what's coming up in the upcoming version of Windows that could be releasing here in October as I get closer to the release of the second version of Windows 10 updates for this particular year. As you know, there is a spring and a fall, and we're about to hit fall or autumn, if you were interested in calling it that. So sometime within the next 30 days of this recording, they should be turning the corner on that. There's some people who feel like there's some major bugs in this new version, and it's still going to ship anyway, but we're used to that. We just talked about iOS 13. Yeah.
So I was looking at some of the things that have dropped through Narrator in the past few months. So I just don't know what's making it in this release and what gets pushed off till later. There's mentions of some of these more things that other screen readers have had, you know, like automatically reading ahead a web page starting at the first landmark, or better reading of things in Outlook. And of course your dark mode.
Yeah, and the buffer works a little differently, and automatically going into forms mode and some of that stuff. Some of it I can't speak to directly because it's still in flux because I'm in the insider on that. But
when we get to release, what this like we did last time.
Experience. Yep. Definitely.
Exactly. Yeah, we'll definitely... we'll double back on the fall update. As far as mainstream stuff, I don't know why they're still bothering with Cortana, but it's they're just kind of tying it into Alexa.
It is, because this week they actually introduced for beta cycle the ability to control your Xbox through Google Home, just like they did last year with Alexa. So there is more compatibility with Microsoft, thinking that services are the platform, not the operating system. And that's something Satya Nadella talked about today. He actually did kind of highlight the idea that Microsoft is a services company and that the operating system is a delivery system, but it isn't exactly what they are. They're thinking they are more cloud-based, Azure. They're thinking more of what's going on with Windows being just a layer, and we'll come back on
which
that
is true for all of the big four.
Yeah,
Amazon has S3, Google has all the other clouds and ads and all their stuff, and Apple of course has movies and iTunes, iCloud,
which is running on Google stuff, is absolutely hysterical.
So I mean, they're all he said that, and then that's pretty much true for all of them, even your major your computer companies.
Even but they did show
even Vispero draws as a vehicle to sell training and enterprise services. So, I mean, this is not even a mainstream thing.
They did show that hardware still matters to them, as it does with the Xbox, as there's a new Xbox coming out next year. This year, we see that there is Surface Laptop 3. The third version of the Surface Laptop, which is going to come in a 15-inch configuration. It is lighter and definitely coming into its own with October 22nd being its release date. They showed this hinge. They love their hinges. They showed this hinge, which really made the ability to swivel that around a lot more interesting. There is different configurations. Like I said, there's even the ability to get it in a repairability situation. So you can actually take it apart and do your own repairs rather than being an enclosed box that you can never open.
That fucks a trend. That's very cool.
Yeah. I think it's because Apple is already facing the right to repair lawsuits in various states. They're just getting ahead on that. And, you know, there is all sorts of AMD products being talked about with these devices. So it isn't just an Intel shop anymore, which I thought was also very interesting. It is lighter. The 13-inch does come in a little cheaper. They made sure to mention that it was 3 times more powerful than a MacBook Air. Probably consumes 3 times the amount of battery. But it is using USB-C, and it can actually charge very fast with that. So there's that thing that Jay has talked about wanting to have in any of his new portable devices, because you get that rapid charging. They didn't spend a lot of time on that, and I don't blame them because they had a lot of other stuff to talk about, including Surface 7. Surface 7 also has USB-C, and it too looked really, really nice. The docks and covers are still available. And then, Jay, I know you're really happy about this, but there's Surface earbuds. Last year, we saw the introduction of Surface headphones, and they have little ways of touching them and being able to work a lot like you would with AirPods. The price was $350, though, and that was a little scary. These earbuds do very much the same thing with noise cancellation, give you some ability to work with Office better, a little bit more with dictation and being able to work with your computer. And $249. They're very large. If you thought earpods were large, I like the tweet that I saw that said, "Can I make these uglier?" says Apple, and Microsoft says, "Hold my beer." They are ginormous.
Maybe I'm just anti-brands because I said the same thing about the AirPods. Which, by the way, the AirPods, I hear people talking on their microphone. It's just awful.
Yes,
it's the worst thing ever.
Yes.
I have a hard time justifying, as of course I've said, I'm sitting here wearing a $7 pair of headphones, so maybe I'm not the best one to judge this, but paying $300 for, why would I buy that or an AirPod or a Pixel Bud versus the Anchor, whatever, you know, Soundcore, whatever the Anchor earbuds are, which I probably can get for what, $50 maybe then?
I think, you know, again, it's one of those where you're right. It is about branding. It is about being seen. The same was said about Surface Studio. All told, that was a really pretty computer, but it had laptop stuff in a desktop computer, but it was that ability to move the screen down and draw with it, and it looked just gorgeous the way that they had text being shown on it and the way that it actually did a 4:3 aspect or a 3:4 actually aspect. And it made pages look better when you had 2 pages side by side. So they learned a lot from that. And they learned that it was a thing you could aspire to as an aspirational product, like we talked about with the iPhone 11 Pro Max. And so some people will wear it just to say that they have it because they know so few people will get it. Or some people will feel like maybe Microsoft knows something they don't. And here's another thing. Some people, like myself, don't mind Microsoft's approach to hardware. I have several hardware keyboards around here from Microsoft because they're usually durable and they actually hold up. And I usually like the feel of the way that they kind of come off. I have some Microsoft headphones for my Xbox because I just wanted to play with what they thought that the experience should be. And so that's what some people will see it as is, oh, this is the experience I should be getting. I'll compare other things to this. Not everybody's going to run right out and buy $249 earbuds, though, especially when the Sony ones, the Sony noise cancellation ones that everybody loves have been falling under $129 before Black Friday. So that's
the Anchor review. I was just reading it, even though they're $30, the reviews are not the same as what you're probably going to get from, if I look up the AirPods or whatever, the reviews are going to be a lot better. So,
and it's not like a Surface, like a Surface 7. If you're looking for a Windows tablet, you know, that is a really good tablet experience. They have refined it. It's light. It works with the Surface Pen. It isn't janky. It really feels good in the hand. I've worked with Surfaces before. And of course I have a Surface Go and Ricky has a Surface Go and Lisa has a Surface Go. So there is a lot to be said about their approach to hardware that I like. I don't know if that carries over to Surface Pro X. Surface Pro X is, well, it's more Surface, that's for sure. Had removable kind of a hard drive kind of thing going on there. The thing about these devices and what we're going to talk about over the next two products may not necessarily be something that's going to excite you as a blind user. And part of that is because we as blind individuals have a tendency to work from a single touch user interface. Our focus is where our fingers are. Our focus is where the cursor is. A lot of these things that they were showing today, especially Windows 10X, follow me here, is dual 10-10. Screen. Yeah, 10-10. Exactly. That's actually what some people were joking about on Twitter. They're dual screen devices. So you could hold this device like a book and have a screen on either side, or you could lay it on the table and tilt it up and have, you know, one screen be your keyboard virtually if you would like. Or, you know, there are different ways to be able to use this, including attaching a keyboard to it, like in the case of the Surface Neo, where that product is coming out next year. But it too is a dual screen device, and some people really gravitated towards it. To them, they felt like it was a larger screen and more data could be shown at one time.
So the Neo is dual screen. The X is not, right? The X is a 13 right. inch.
Right. Okay. It's, so it's a pro moniker, right?
And
it's,
got you. It's, and then there's a, another then, way. Right. So there's a 13 inch.
You set
inch
it apart.
Exactly. And then a 7-inch, which I'm guessing you're going to get to in a second, is much smaller.
Yeah. Well, we kind of went over right. it earlier, but yeah.
Got you. But then, and then this Neo. So, I mean, is there any, I guess it's too early to
tell.
The
Neo is out next year. So they did this mm-hmm. as their one more thing, is they went through, they talked about all the stuff you expected, like the Surface yep. and the Surface Laptop and the Surface Pro and, you know, all the different connections you get with the Surface Pro and all the things you get with Surface Laptop. And then they started talking about this dual screen paradigm in which they really are going all in on the idea that you would be able to have more data. You'd be able to manipulate that data better. Even so much so that there was a thing like if you dock a keyboard to the Surface device, this thing would come up called the Wunderbar or Wunderbar, you know, getting back to my German. But that was kind of like a touch strip, kind of like what we had seen with Apple in the past. But it wasn't like a dedicated integrated thing. A lot of this stuff isn't going to necessarily work out, not even for low vision people, because some low vision people might have field loss.
Well, that's what I was wondering about. Yeah,
more screen works against them.
Right. Although some people, when you're at home, I know some low vision people will have the 32 inch monitor or whatever. So maybe for right. some people having the real estate. So there's two. There's the Neo, which was for a 2020. But then there's another next year. Right. And this is where
and so I'm interested the in. Other thing that came out of nowhere that nobody's
the one more thing.
One more. Yeah. One other thing. Was yeah. definitely something that I thought JJ would want to definitely throw his hat in the ring for. We're talking about a dual screen phone from Microsoft.
As long as Samsung Android. Isn't doing it. Yeah.
Well, the Samsung approach is that Samsung is still kind of there. Microsoft is providing services and they're kind of co-piloting with them. This is Microsoft working with Google directly on a dual screen situation. And there were people in the tech reporting that I follow on The Verge and the like who were going, now I know why Google was so excited to talk about Android 10 and dual screen support. Because it was like, wait, what, the Samsung Fold? What are you talking about? No, is this device that Microsoft is going to release, which is a 5.5, two screens, you fold it up, fits in a jacket pocket, and it's Microsoft returning to doing things in the phone. So you would have Microsoft services, you would have a Microsoft experience, but it would still be Play Store enabled, so you would still get everything you would get from Google.
Right, because, you know, Windows Phone, obviously, went nowhere.
Good to dead fast. And gone. Right.
And yep. companies are not, they already got suckered in once. They're not going to create custom apps for the people that created Windows Phone apps. I'm sure they feel like they just wasted a whole bunch of their life doing that. So jumping on an existing platform. It's what BlackBerry did, you know, when they realized that they didn't have enough support, but they had a few people that liked their keyboards.
Motorola turned around and used Android when they came back to the market.
Yeah. So, I mean, it makes a lot of sense for anyone who's not Apple to use Android at this point. My only disappointment, and I guess again, they're trying to tease, it's like Google Duplex. It's announced now. They say holiday 2020, and that's what they're saying. If for luck,
you hit your finger right on it just a moment ago when you said developers. They've got to get it into the hand of developers, because how do developers stop thinking about single screens? How can they do things in book mode?
Yep.
You know, they have to do, which is ironic because Microsoft is actually traveling down the same pathway that Nintendo had done years ago with the 3DS, where you had a dual screen system. So the screen on the top was your monitor and the screen on the bottom was your touchpad, which was also a monitor that you could interact and play games with. So Nintendo's already done this for years and have actually stepping away. The Switch is kind of a step away after they had done dual screen stuff with the Wii U and the 3DS. So here's Nintendo going back to a traditional single screen, and Microsoft now thinking that the next form of computing is dual screen, like having something in your arm and you're playing with it, but yet you may need it on a big screen. And they said that they learned that from the Surface, the giant Surface that I don't know that people know a lot about here that listen to our program, but the big Surface panels that they have. So these are like 80-inch television-like things, and they're literally a giant Surface. And people use them in conference centers to do PowerPoints and presentations. And they wanted the ability to go, well, actually, I've updated that Excel. Well, can you put it up here? Yeah, well, let me put it into OneDrive. And then you can click on this, and then we'll transfer. And no, they wanted the ability to just push a button and like Chromecast it or AirPlay it up to the Surface in the conference room. So this is Microsoft learning from what they had gotten from enterprise and trying to make a seamless experience where they can pass data around even faster than AirDrop and make that stuff just appear where they need it to do, be in the place where they need it. And it's going to be more visual, right? It's going to be very, very visual, no different than Surface Pen or the Apple Pencil or any of that stuff. So it may not necessarily work for us, but what I'm hoping for is Microsoft's approach with accessibility maybe our spark for getting some type of Braille on an Android phone. Because if Microsoft is about the experience and they're into inclusion, maybe this is how we get BSI. Maybe this is where we start to get Microsoft starting to come up to Google and going, hey, why isn't this happening? You know, where is this technology?
That does make it. That makes a lot of sense when you look at it. I'm looking at the laptops and so aside from your joke answer, which is only half a joke, like, well, why are we talking about Microsoft when we don't talk about the others? Yeah, sure, it's content. But, you know, Microsoft is a little bigger company than, say, Dell or Lenovo. But I still struggle as someone who is a Lenovo laptop user to find is there a feature that I'm missing about Surface other than they look sexy and they look like MacBooks that would convince me to switch from what I have now to that, knowing that I could buy the X1 on a Lenovo and pretty much get the same looking thing.
I think the idea is you're happy with the experience from getting it from a Microsoft store. If you have a Microsoft store in your backyard, you know, you can go get it serviced. You can go talk to them. You can go see it. You can get some honest answers.
Do you have one?
I do. Well, but you know, Charlotte also has the largest Microsoft campus outside of main campus. So I'm not, you know, so it's right up the road. In fact, it's about 4 or 6 miles away. And I've gone there a bunch of times because I just go in there to drool sometimes. But there's a lot of great stuff on there for me to go in and ask questions about and put my hands on, where I will get some information about it rather than going to Best Buy where it's hit or miss, right? Because Best Buy is going to throw at me whatever's on sale, whatever they got to move out of the channel that week. That's what they're going to talk about when I go into Best Buy. So I find the Microsoft hardware experience nice. I've enjoyed it. I like the quality and the build. I rarely have problems with Microsoft equipment, so I'm kind of on board. But I have to pay for that, knowing that.
Well, and if you like it,
I have to understand that it's going to be paying at a premium.
Yeah, and if you like it, then it works for you. It's the same thing. If you find a brand that you like, and then, you know, you got support that you need. You know, I like my Next Business Day support that, of course, I pay a nice chunk of money for as well. And you can do that with most major, pretty much any major laptop brand. you know, you do get what you paid
for. And it's in reverse. I had horrible things with HP, so I'll very rarely ever seriously consider an HP computer.
Yeah, it's like hard drives. You have one bad hard drive that dies, you'll never buy another one.
I used JAWS 3.5, and it didn't work in Corel, Jay, and I've never used JAWS again, I'll tell you that.
I'm sure you joke, but I'm sure someone,
that may be had taken from an actual conversation I had a convention.
It would not surprise me.
But there are things here. I just don't know if the future is dual screen. I don't know where that goes for us. It's going to be interesting to think about touch on two screens. I mean, years ago, I talked about how when the Surface was introduced, it had 10 finger touch, and I said on another program, wow, wouldn't that be so cool to have Braille screen input? I mean, it'll accept 10 digits, your hands, two hands. You could type Braille on a Surface maybe in the future. And then Apple went and did BSI. So, you know, what do I know? BSI
works well. I mean, and the Braille on Touch took a minute to find its footing. And still a lot of people use the Braille keyboard overlay for it. So, I mean, it's hard to do it. You know, I've seen good implementations, and then I've seen Neo Braille. So, you know, there's
and then BSI is crashing super hard in 13.1.2. Yep,
that's
So people who have gotten used to BSI are now very, very upset, as you might see on AppleVis. But it's good for us to know they're refactoring Windows. So Windows, you'll see people talk about Windows 10X. That's the UI that's going to have more dedicated stuff for this dual monitor configuration and the touch on both sides. So it's going to be very interesting. It's not happening very soon in this case. Like we said, the phone and the dual screen input for the Neo, and all I could do was make Matrix jokes on Twitter. But the Neo is coming out next year, and they wanted people to know about it because they want developers to get excited about it, start thinking about it, and then develop for it. And that was the same strategy they took with the Xbox Scarlett, which is the code name for the next Xbox coming out next year. They wanted to show their hardware plan so they could start driving developers to them. But no, they did not, Jay, say developers. I'm sorry.
You know, but you look at dual screen, like a lot of stuff for blind people, we can already translate that. The old concept of monitor cells in Excel, where you could say, watch column A1 or cell A1, and then let me know whenever it changes. It doesn't matter if it's on the screen for us. We can have that report no matter what. So, you know, the efficiency for a blind user is a lot different than a low vision user.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see if they make the same mistakes. Like, you know, the Windows Pro X is using ARM, right? It's not an Intel. It's an ARM processor. Yep. And it's using this AI engine thing, right? And what it's supposed to be is what you already have if you have a latest iPhone using latest iOS. If you're FaceTiming someone and you look away, the AI engine simulates you looking still into the camera, so people feel like they're still making eye contact with you, right? And they actually demonstrated this during the Microsoft event today, that you could be in Teams and maybe you look away for a second, or you're looking down at your notes instead of into the camera. It will simulate you still looking into the camera, and some people call it like dead-eyed robot syndrome, because you're still making eye contact, but you can obviously tell that it's being done by a computer. And I thought for a lot of people who I've met who are newly blind, who might develop mannerisms of not looking at people's faces anymore, you know, what was that going to be like? And what does some of this technology that they think will make things better for people who don't communicate well to look like they're communicating well, how does that affect? Why does that work? Will it work for us? What does it do for people with prosthetics? My mind just kept going with a lot of that today. And I think that's really interesting, looking forward to what some of these chatbot things might try to do for individuals who might have more exposed mannerisms or might have something else going on than prosthetics. And maybe that works for people who have autism, who have shyness or trouble socializing with others. Socializing. Here I go, making up words on the show again. Trouble with socialization with others, you know, so that might work for them in certain ways.
Never mind. I'm going to be very snarky.
Oh, no. This show? Never.
I was just waiting for the complete announcement of how they actually fixed Skype. No?
Yeah, I don't think there was any news about that today. And now you got bleeped because you used the S word. And you know how Patrick feels about the S word.
Not lately. It's been the Z word, actually.
almost as bad as I feel about people who leave tabs and tabs and tabs open. The trainers who have worked with people who don't understand the idea that, well, that opened in a new tab.
Do you want to say on air what you know? Called your fiance?
A person who enjoys tabs.
Yeah, she's I'm a sure big fan of you,
yeah. Tabs. Yeah, tabs. So I can say that her fan on her computer works really well because she has so many things open at one time. And then the virus scan comes up and then I just laugh and laugh. She doesn't shut down either. I've never understood people who won't reboot. Why?
Okay.
I've had the session up for 15 days. Reboot. Reboot.
I please, see what I started.
For the love. Yeah. Anyway, this is not therapy for Joe. This is not how this works. The iPhone has this fun little thing sometimes about opening things in tabs. And you don't always realize that if you're using Safari as your main default to read things in mail, or maybe it's a login or something like that, it's opening in Safari. You could have 30 or 40 tabs open right now and you might not even realize it. And that's taking away memory and it's draining your battery. And every time you open up Safari, it might ping all those pages as well. So therefore, you start to wonder, where did all my data go? It went to Safari. One of the cool things in 13 is that, in a few things, is that you can actually have those automatically close for you. It'll force close those tabs. Real simple. Go to settings, go down to Safari, then go into the Safari settings, and from there, flick on down to where you see things about tabs, and you'll see about tabs being closed manually. Close tabs manually. Tap on that, go in there, and you'll find that you have a selection. You can say manually, close each day, close each week, close each month. And those will automatically be purged from your iPhone, saving you time, money, data, and probably battery. It's still there. It's manual by default. So if you want to be the master of all your tabs and close them when you say so, you still can. But if you're one of those who may be working with a parent or a relative and you're the person who has to fix the iPhone all the time and you're just tired of going in there and flicking away a bunch of tabs, well, this is the tool you want today. Go into Safari, go down to settings, head on over to where it says close tabs, change it from manual to one of those other options. That's our tip for this particular episode.
It's your turn to sound off. Email feedback at blindbargains.com or tweet us at Blind Bargains.
Some very thoughtful comments coming in via the email and Twitter. Thank you so much. Dave Vandermolen talking a lot about indoor navigation and GPS and wondering about ways to track back your route. One thing that we haven't really mentioned here on this show much, and maybe we'll do a review or a listener wants to do it, they can, is an app called Clue. And Clue is an app that essentially will let you retrace your steps. So if you're walking from, or especially like on a trail, and you're, you know, you walk 100 feet and you turn right, and you walk 500 feet and you turn left, blah, 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 it will let you reverse that route, and then you can go back to where you started again. And it's actually, from the people that I've talked to, been really accurate. It's just on iOS at the moment. But as far as navigation, it's one of the cooler things that I've seen out there. We're not to that point for indoor navigation yet where you can just like set up your own system. That would be cool. And maybe in 3-5 years, we'll be there. Maybe less, where you just like, you know, buy a few beacons and, you know, kind of like you do now for routers and just set up your own system or mapping system or whatever. That would be really cool. There's still not the technology there.
Did you read a little bit about Amazon Sidewalk? We didn't really talk about it on the show last
week. Yeah, not yet.
So Amazon Sidewalk is the idea that it's a 900 megahertz spectrum and you're supposed to be able to use it a little better than you would Bluetooth or other forms of wireless communication.
The range, yes. And, the range is quite different. You know, of course, using it for navigation, though, I didn't hear anything in Sidewalk about navigation.
It is possible that it could, through Echo devices and other devices.
That's true. As much as they're selling, you have enough Echoes.
Yeah. You could possibly have yourself a beacon system. Kind of like with the way Google can figure out which home you're... If you have multiple Google homes in your house, it figures out which one you're closer to normally to give you the answer to.
But that's done by
voice.
Sometimes
that's your phone.
That's usually done by which one it hears you from the audio. That's a lot different than...
You could do something subsonically. That'd be interesting.
Yeah. So there's a lot of you could, but no, to answer your question, no, there's nothing that we know of.
No.
And, you know, yeah, there are apps out for surveyors. I'm not sure if any of that stuff is accessible. There's a newer, the newer version of GPS satellites is starting to come into the mainstream. And I think as though
the Galileo,
as Galileo gains support, then we will have much better accuracy outdoors. So that is cool.
Yeah, a lot of that was limited to military use. And we didn't really have commercially the ability to get down to pinpoint for a very long time. And in fact, there are still some spots that are dead zones. So if you had worked in some places in New York, if you work in some places in Washington, D.C., the GPS blackout zones are there. And that's really weird to hit one of those. So it takes a little bit of getting used to. But if it's your normal route, you figure it out. And of course, those of you who went to college know very well that going to some college campuses, you would just get to a block and that was it because the individual halls weren't there. So you had to use breadcrumb navigation for things like trucker breeze and the like in order to be able to give yourself some idea of where you were. And that took us some time with a mobility instructor, a very kind friend, to be able to walk around to be able to get to that information. Kindness is something that we rely on a lot. Chan writes in to tell us, or specifically me, about a mistake that I had made in an episode. I believe it was 178.
173. That's a bit of a
173.
Took a little while.
Wow. Yeah, not a problem. Let me say on this show something I used to say on other shows. I am happy to be wrong. And for someone to write in to tell us that we were wrong, we will never say no to that. I will never say no to that because JJ was corrected on the Color Star not too long ago. So it does happen to both of us.
And actually, I do have a correction that came in. So first of all, the Braille displays, yes, there were multi-line Braille displays. And I think I noticed this when you said this.
The one that was specifically pointed out was that I had said single cell Braille displays
were first.
And I had said Versa Braille. And corrected historically on that.
And the Opticon is not a Braille display at all.
No, it was pins. Not, although sure. it right. And it actually had a visual component. I had the LED thing that you could connect to. And it's one of the reasons why I suck at Braille.
I think you just kept talking.
I think you meant to. And that's pretty much the way we work.
Maybe I was trying to get a word
in. But I appreciate that you corrected this and gave a wonderfully accurate.
The Braille Mate had the one cell, and that was more in the 90s, and we've already dropped that audio before. We have the Doug Wakefield cassettes of the Braille Mate around here. I was wrong about this one as well. The Echo Show 5, and I was a little unsure of this, but Drew on Twitter did verify the Show 5 does not have the show and tell feature.
It was the 7 and the 8, right?
Well, the 7 and the 10, and then now there's the 8.
Oh. Okay, so 7, 10, and 8.
This is too many. No. There was a 5 and a 10, right?
Okay.
And now there's an 8.
Right.
So the 8 and should be fine.
So the 8.
As far as we know, the 8's fine. The 10s are fine.
It would be really helpful if they would name them something other than themselves so you could actually tell the difference between these stupid things.
And be very clear about
what... They're worse than Apple about this.
Well, in like a feature like this, like the show and tell, like it should be very clear which features are going to support it and which ones are not. So that would be very helpful. I also have one other message that came in. The store is out of the requested product, Oscar Mayer Deli Roasted Turkey. Should we substitute the 16 ounce?
How much turkey do you need around the house? 16 ounces for you and others?
I was dealing with the grocery delivery during the show. That's all right.
that's not a problem. These are family emergencies. I understand completely how they work out. Interesting.
Actually, no, I will rant for a half second. You know where this started? This started because of the stupid need, because of an Apple bug and some other stuff, and I might have one in the house, but I don't know where it is, to buy a stupid Lightning to 3.5.
Oh, yes.
That's exactly where this order started.
I've finally gone through all the free ones that came with our phones over the years, and I actually had to buy one.
Yeah, I know I was given a free one. Yeah, so that's where this whole order started. So, and if he writes me and says that they're out of that, then I will... You will hear me punch a wall.
Cancel the order. I'm done. I'm out. Yeah.
This is the whole reason we just...
He's
going to the better Target, so this is good.
Target actually has Oreos. They have really good, rare to find Oreos. But one of the things that is not as rare, and JJ has talked about it not too long ago, was the mystery Oreo. We got in mystery Oreos into the house through our shopping app. Didn't think they were going to be there, and lo and behold, they were. And Ricky wanted to try them, but she wanted Kyle to be there too. So here's some audio for the last word of us trying mystery Oreos. Okay, so we've mentioned this on The Last Word a couple of times, and we've talked about Oreos, and JJ talked about mystery Oreos, and that you could win money and stuff if you could guess what those were. Well, well and behold, family, that is on either side of me, we have mystery Oreos. So
we do.
Ricky's over there. Hi, Ricky.
Hello.
Hi, Kyle.
Hello.
Welcome to the podcast.
Again.
Wonderful teenager you are. So I'm going to hand each one of you guys one of these. So here's your Oreo.
Welcome to Try Thing Part 2.
Ah. Sorry. Yes. All right. Here is an Oreo for you.
Okay.
All right. And I will take an Oreo. And we'll do this old classic EOL style. We'll all crunch down on three. Okay?
Okay, hold on. No. The smell.
Yeah, oh, the smell. This. I agree.
Yes. Okay. What does it smell like to you?
Cinnamon roll,
I guess. I would agree. Or like oatmeal raisin cookie. Kind of that cinnamon, like cinnamon nutmeg thing.
It's pumpkin spice. We figured it out. Oh, no. Okay.
Please don't be that.
No.
Nope.
I agree with that. And these are the mystery ones, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Because we got peanut butter pie ones, too. Those are good.
Yeah. These are definitely not those, which are good.
Yeah. Those are really good. All right, everybody. You ready?
You know what? Actually, what? Graham cracker, too.
Yeah. You're right. Yeah. It does smell like graham cracker.
Yeah. A little s'morey. Okay.
Okay.
Well, describe.
Mario. I just had another thought. Okay.
Okay. What color? Describe the color. Can you tell the color of the cream?
It's literally just white.
It just white?
It looks like just a regular Oreo. Oreo.
Oreo? And the cookie is that too. Yeah.
Yes.
So.
Cool.
All right. Three on three. One, two, three.
Oh, it's awful. Oh, no. No.
I was prepared for that. Okay, it doesn't taste like it smells.
Yeah, it kind of does. Like the cream doesn't really taste like anything.
That is definitely graham cracker. That is probably graham cracker.
Need another?
Not yet. Okay. I was tasting the cream by itself.
Uh-huh.
And it either tastes like nothing or it tastes like the cookie.
Oh, wait, no. There's another flavor, but I can't describe it. It might be the cookie. I don't know.
Hmm.
Huh.
They're good. I like them, but I can't really...
And there's no clues on that.
Mm-mm.
Huh. And it doesn't change when you go for a second cookie. It maintains its flavor. And there's a little bit of a chocolate. Just a hint of it.
Yeah, because of the chocolate
cookie. Chocolate cookie, yeah.
My guess is graham cracker.
Okay, so it's a graham cracker kind of guess. And your thought?
Well, they've already had s'moreos, so I guess I can't really say graham cracker, even though it's very similar. I would actually kind of say oatmeal raisin or oatmeal, some kind of oatmeal.
I like both of those. I could go with either one of those. Either one of those would work for me. Of course, I've just eaten three of these, so.
I think it's funny that we can't discern the flavor.
That's why it's a mystery.
Like, you know how people say, like, oh, it's a sour apple flavored Oreo, but it tastes like something else. It's like if you were handed it blindly and you tasted it, would it really be a green apple?
That's what it was. You could say it's like it's fruity.
There are Sour Patch Kids cereal out there.
Let's see if they taste. Does milk?
Does milk alter the flavoring?
Alter the flavor or bring out some subtle hidden thing?
It's funny that not even... Like, that we have to discern the flavor, not the... I can't describe what I want to say.
Well, there you go, everyone. That kind of sums it up, and that's why it's called a mystery Oreo. We'll throw it back to the regular scheduled BBQ. BBQ and these Oreos? Not an idea. After this was finished recording, I said later that it almost tasted like a hint of cherry. It reminded me of Black Forest cake.
So there's three packages with three different clues, right? That's the deal?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And I haven't read this. I just mainly ate them.
Oh, so you didn't read the clue? You didn't even read the clue. See, he put the audio in. I haven't heard it yet. Okay. Well, you should read the clue. Okay.
I will clarify. I will clarify. And I will read the clue. But yep. But this was just blind taste test. I like how that was. Like, you know. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
So, hey, I have a clip for you. And it's not very often that we reference things like this in news, but should we go back to a quick clip from our April Fool's show? Was it maybe 3 years ago?
2016?
Yeah, let's put that clip in for a second.
Hi, Buddy Mays here with the latest revolutionary product brought to you by the same amazing company that brought you the Blind Bargains watch. Are you tired of arguing with your Uber driver about taking your guide dog on a trip with you? Are you tired of folding yourself in half with your knees under your chin just so your guide dog can ride comfortably under your feet? Don't you deserve to be comfortable too? Of course you do! That's why Blind Bargains brings you Uber Woof, transporting your guide dog right to your destination in comfort and style in its own separate vehicle. That's right, Uber Woof! When you call for Uber Woof, a friendly driver will arrive in minutes to take your furry friend for a ride in the car. Just program in where you're going, and you and your furry friend will eventually be reunited at your final destination. Are you worried about shedding? No problem. We'll send a vehicle whose interior matches your dog. Are you worried about whether your dog will be comfortable and restrained? Don't be. We'll offer a complimentary bowl of water. Our drivers are specially trained to tell your dog it's a good boy or girl several times during the ride. We'll even make sure there's a window down so your dog can put its head out and feel the breeze. But don't take my word for how good this is. Let's hear from a satisfied user of Uber Woof.
Hi. I just want to say that Uber Woof is amazing. I wanted to go to the mall today, but I just didn't feel like arguing with an Uber driver about taking my dog. So I called my Uber, and then I called an Uber Woof. When my Uber driver got there, we only had to wait like 11 minutes for the Uber Woof to get there for my dog. And when the driver got there, she was so awesome. She was actually like joking around and saying that she was just going to steal my dog and take him home with her. That was so funny. So, you know, I know he's in great hands. I'm not worried about it at all. So I've arrived at the mall now, and I've been here for about my Blind Bargains watch. Wow, about 40 minutes now, actually. So I'm here, and my Uber Woof will be here soon, I guess.
Download Uber Woof now, because when you want a hassle-free ride with your guide dog, it's worth paying twice.
Well,
Uber Woof. You know.
Okay, good. We have the Target brand turkey. Okay, good.
I love watching it in real time. I really do. It's I will sit in Instacart. Come on. No whammy. Stop. Oh, good. We got that. Yay. Dinner is saved.
Well, it's shipped because it's Target, and it's too early to order Uno. I look. They don't have it there yet, like I said. So this is Uber for Dogs startup aims to make pet travel easier. Hey, someone heard our show. Huh.
We predicted the future. I can't get the past right, but I can guess the future. See? That's how they... No? No. That was luck.
Spot on. Ha 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 ha. Gotta love these.
Spot on, dude.
Spot on. Yeah, I see. Yeah. Equipped with a seat cover and buckle your... okay, so it's not just for the animal, right?
Right.
Wait, oh no, wait, oh no, they are testing it. Their company is also testing unaccompanied rides for dogs as well.
You can put your dog in this Uber Woof, send it to the dog walker service, they'll walk your dog, yeah, and then they'll send it back to you.
Or you send it to the vet. They're partnering with major pet retailers. I mean, that's actually really cool, you know? It wouldn't be that hard for regular Uber to say first of all they need to Uber and need to learn how to actually take the dogs that they have to take legally, because they haven't even figured that part out yet. But
yep,
it would be not a bad thing to, you know, they already do child seats for people in Ubers and Lyfts, so they could easily extend to smash spot on. if they wanted to.
Uber Woof X, it takes up to four dogs of various sizes.
Oh my gosh. I wouldn't want the van.
It's like a convention. Oh, man.
It's in New York right now, it looks like. If you're there, you can go try to 5,000 rides a month.
Totally going to tell Chansey.
The drivers have a license in the taxi limousine.
We'll get Chansey to find out more about it. That's our default for most New York things.
That's true. Well, hey, I can get on this train. I can take my dog there, too.
There you go. you can write in and tell us when we're right, when we're wrong. We appreciate it. Don't be afraid to write into the show. Sometimes the information is super helpful, not just for us, but for others who listen. So if you hear something, go ahead and send it on through. You can send it at feedback@blindbargains.com. You could tweet us @blindbargains. You could also tweet me when I'm not talking about assistive technology. I'm talking about books, movies, all sorts of amazing things. You know, I've got to play with a little more, but Xbox on DC Universe is reading with narrator. And so I've been watching a lot of Batman on DC Universe, making that $75 subscription work for me. You can find more of that by reading at Ranger Station. All one word, that is Ranger Station.
Hey, convention season coming up, and we're locking in some dates. So NFB Colorado, October 31st. Actually, I believe the exhibits are November 1 and 2 in Colorado. That is in Fort Collins this year. NFB Michigan, of course, doing that November 8 to 10. Exhibits are on the 8th. NFB Maryland, November 8th as well. We will be doing that. NFB Texas, November 15 to 17 in Austin.
Hey.
So we're starting to line up the fall exhibit schedule, and hope to see you somewhere soon.
I haven't done that Austin show in a while. I used to enjoy doing that. All my friends back in Austin. You know, you could also...
It's not the Holiday Inn that was...
The one that would transport you back to the 70s and you felt like it could be used in The Shining, like the Overbro look or something. Yeah, that was...
Good lobby bar and a good bartender, though.
That was true. Was very true. And there was that weird restaurant that you had to walk like 15 miles to get to that was way, way, way off in the back. It was really strange. It was like something... Wow.
Pepper, I can get my Whataburger in Austin, no matter where I am in Austin.
Yeah, well, that's going to be next year when we're at that convention. But before we get to that, we have to get through Black Friday. Remember, if you're a business and you'd like to be a part of our annual Black Friday show, you can by just letting us know. Send in your request to feedback@blindbargains.com. We can talk to you a little bit about how that works. If you're unfamiliar, each Black Friday, we at AT Guys actually have deals that we talk about, but we also open up the floodgates and bring on other blind businesses or blind related businesses to talk about what wares they have going for Black Friday as well. Hit the show archives and hear what we're talking about, and then drop us a line, feedback@blindbargains.com, if you'd like to be a part of that.
And those start at just $50. That's a very affordable advertising option that we have on the podcast. So thank you so much for listening. Thanks, Patrick, for putting all this together. We definitely appreciate it. And thanks to everyone who wrote us in as well on email and Twitter or the comments on the website. We have a week to fill next week. We might do some features type stuff.
But you're sure there isn't like another AMD Microsoft Ryzen event? Or... Maybe.
I think we should cover it. If Lenovo is doing an event, I'm covering it.
Okay. It's totally, it's the Insignia event. Best Buy with all stuff that won't be working or supported in 2 years. It's the Insignia event.
Live from the Huawei event.
Oh, no. Oh, yep. So we don't know what next week's going to bring us, but we know that Google will be the week of the 15th, and there is probably an Apple event probably before the end of October. We will see how that goes. But in the meantime, everybody have a wonderful week.
This has been another Blind Bargains audio podcast. Visit blindbargains.com for the latest deals, news, and exclusive content. This podcast may not be retransmitted, sold, or reproduced without the express written permission of AT Guys.
Copyright 2019.
Is there anything else I can grab you for you before we go to checkout? Oh, good. All right, we're good. It looks like I've got no message about the lightning adapter. It sounds like it's on its way, so we're good. See you next week, folks.